patterns of our society
are being disrupted.
Raising to a new level.
All right, so I just get so tired of people. People are exhausting. They are. They're exhausting. And it seems to be mostly an online epidemic. I mean, I've only run into someone a handful of times that acts in public the way that most people act online. You know, argumentative, trying to be all threatening, and she was an idiot. I was in uniform. I had to act professional. And I just said, have a nice day. And I walked away from her, and she called me a fat ass. Like, really? That's your go-to? That's like tapping out in a submission move, lady. Come on. Because I asked her, she was saying, we had pulled in, this is the story. I had pulled in from the side where CVS is. So I was in the parking lot already. I was in an adjoining parking lot. And she pulled in off the road into the Speedway gas station. The thing is that people pulling off the road seem to think they're in a friggin' drag race. Because they tend to do like 30 through the parking lot. I pulled in. She came flying in. We almost hit. I got in my car. She came up. She just charges up at me. She gets out of the car, charges up at me. She goes, do you realize that I have disabled people in the car and that you endangered all of us? And I look at her car, and she's got a little note taped up in the window that she's transporting disabled people. No legal markings whatsoever that denoted her as being okay to transport anybody other than her own friends and family. If I wanted to escalate the situation, all I had to do was call the police, but I chose instead to walk away. This is basically everybody online. Now, there are some people that don't do this. They stay away from arguments, and people are fleeing Facebook. Between the toxicity and the censorship that Facebook swears they're not doing, you know, I got dinged this week for an inappropriate comment that I made a month ago. They called it bullying. I don't even know what the comment was, but I know I didn't do it. That's what happens when you let a computer decide who's bullying and who isn't. Like, use real people or hit the road. But AI is not as great as you think it is. So I find people enormously exhausting, largely because it's just like everybody knows everything. Everybody's an expert on absolutely everything. Nobody can be told squat. And I'm about to give two examples of why this is. First off comes from Shaw University. They sent me this in the email. We give you free education. No, you don't. You charge $69 a month. That's not free. All right. Roping somebody in with 4 weeks free does not make it free. If it's free all year, it's free. If it's free for 4 weeks and then you hit my credit card for $70 a month, that's not free. And to be perfectly honest, if I'm going to pay for an education online or otherwise, I'm going to go with a university that specializes in the discipline that I'm interested in. Not somebody that says, we don't care what your GPA is. I actually want them to care what my GPA is, but I want them to get to know me as a person and understand that who I was 35 years ago in high school is not who I am now. That's missing from a lot of universities, by the way. So they sent me this in the email, and they go, hey, here's the news stories that are trending. I'll just give you a quick rundown. There's five of them. The UK becomes the first country to approve Pfizer's coronavirus vaccine. Well, I don't live under a rock. I knew that. Sephora plans to open stores at 850 Kohl's locations. Don't care. McDonald's is launching two vegan options in 2021. So now we're torturing plants. Cool. Face masks proven. And this is the one that gets me. Face masks proven to not inhibit breathing or performance during exercise. Bull crap. I can't walk through a store without getting winded. You telling me that it's all in my head doesn't make it true. Nonsense repeated does not become fact. Okay? Okay. Simple fact, mask off, exercising, I breathe normally. Face mask on, exercising, I huff and I puff. I don't care about what team of doctors you have that got together and had this theoretical thing or ran a test in a lab rat or whatever the hell it was they did. I know what happens to me as a person, and you need to back off, okay? It's as simple as that. Don't virtue signal at me that I'm wearing a face mask and you're not. I can't breathe. End of story. I'm not making it up. I know that's what you think. Oh, he's making it up because he just doesn't want to wear the mask. He doesn't want to be controlled. No, I can't breathe. Deal with it. You're not me. You don't live in my body. Stop being a douchebag. Oh, and here's a headline that's redundant. Artificial sweeteners may pose same health risks to heart health as sugar, study shows. Can I just a quick comment on this? Living poses the same risks to the heart as sugar. Living. We all owe a death. There are no exceptions. So that was the first one that ticked me off, and I thought, you know what? No. Now, you know me, okay? I am anti-government because people are involved and people are selfish, arrogant, self-centered jerks. And that, to me, negates them from trying to make the call on what other people should do in their lives. If I make a bad decision, it's my problem. I got to deal with it. I don't need some bureaucrat that knows jack diddly about crap to tell me, hey, I don't know anything about living inside your body or experiencing what you do on a daily basis, but I'm going to make a sweeping, generalized call and apply it to your life and everybody else's. If you can't see how that's a problem, I can't help you. You're beyond my help. But you'll realize it sooner or later when you're in that exact position and you are experiencing something medically and you're being called a hypochondriac because you're at the doctor, you're older now, you're at the doctor, you know, every other week trying to get pain managed or something fixed and, you know, your coworkers are saying, I think you're just making it up. You'll reach that point and you'll be thinking, jeepers, they don't live in my body. How could they possibly know how I feel? They don't care. Hello, me first in the gimme gimmies. Nobody cares about anybody. It's very rare you come across a person that will invest in you as a human being and care about what you're feeling, what you're struggling with, how your brain works. People want to believe that everybody are exactly like them. And that's the problem. So we come out with crap like this. Franklin Vio. Ugh, Flange. He writes, how can disease with a 1% mortality rate shut down the United States? All it says about this guy is he's a professional writer. This little piece of information has been screen grabbed, copied, and recopied so many times it's distorted. We don't have a perception point. We don't know where this came from. All we know is people are sharing it. Just like people always do on social media. They see something, it feeds their personal bias, so they blindly share it without researching any of it because, hey, I like what this says. It makes me feel like I'm doing the right thing, thinking the right way, and making the right decisions. Newsflash, you're not. You're being an obedient drone. So how can a disease with a 1% mortality rate shut down the United States? This, right based on that title, I already know one thing about Franklin. He deals in fear. You know what? I need people to pay attention. So I'm going to scare them with some numbers. I'm going to try to frighten the crap out of them with these numbers. And I'm going to really build on these because I want people scared. You are not a leader. You're not. Sorry, Franklin. You are a douchebag, though. There are two problems with this question, he writes. It neglects the law of large numbers, and it assumes one of two things happen. You die, or you're 100% fine. All right, I can already tell you from personal experience, based on, yes, a limited circle, but most of the people I personally know have had COVID in some way, shape, or form. Only one had a serious problem, and he didn't even go to the hospital for COVID-19. He went for a blood infection, When he got to the hospital, and by the way, he never leaves his house, and neither does anybody else in his house. He's disabled, okay? They tested him, because they test everybody, found out he had COVID. Guess what went on the clipboard for why he was there? Not the blood infection. It was put on the clipboard that he was there for COVID-19. That's not why he went in. It's dishonest. The U.S. population has 328,200,000 people. If 1% of the population dies, that's 3,282,000 people dead. I hate to say this, but first let me point out, have you run those numbers for the flu, pal? And don't try to tell me and pretend like you care about these people. And he goes on to prove that he doesn't. What he's worried about is money. 3 million people dead would monkey wrench the economy no matter what. That more than doubles the number of annual deaths all at once. I mean, any pandemic, whether it's the flu, which is a pandemic every year, but nobody wants to admit that, or COVID-19. What about the people who will survive? For every one person who dies. Now, these are things he's just throwing out there. He cites no sources. And I'm calling bullcrap on all of them. For every one person who dies, 19 more require hospitalization. 18 of those people got scared because they got the sniffles and they've been watching network news. 18 of those will have permanent heart damage for the rest of their lives. Again, please cite a source. I highly doubt it. These are inflated numbers that the CDC and the World Health Organization gave us because the Great Reset. 10% will have permanent lung damage. Well, you get permanent lung damage from a lot of things. You know, you get scarring for certain things. Permanent lung damage is a scarier term than it sounds scarier than it actually is. All right, permanent lung damage? I've had bronchitis. I'm pretty sure I've got permanent lung damage. To what degree? Am I coughing up blood? No. 3 will have strokes. These 3 are probably in the percentile of senior citizens. 2 will have neurological damage that leads to chronic weakness and loss of coordination. Again, side effect. This is the first time I'm hearing any of these claims. 2 will have neurological damage that leads to loss of cognitive function. That indicates lack of oxygen to the brain. That's how that happens. We're not pointing that out because then people will ask, were they on a respirator? Did they have a pre-existing condition? If there were no hospitals and they had a pre-existing condition, would they have survived naturally? Questions that are not being asked. But let's go back to the numbers because remember, this is about scaring the crap out of people. 3,282,000 people dead. 62,358,000 hospitalized. 59,076,000 people with permanent heart damage. 32,820,000 people with permanent lung damage. 9,846,000 people with strokes. I want to punch this guy. 6,564,000 people with muscle weakness. Again, these are things that can happen with a really bad flu. 6,564,000 people with loss of cognitive function. Interesting that muscle weakness and cognitive function have the same exact number. That's the thing that folks who keep going on about only 1% dead, what's the big deal, don't get. Really? This professional writer of what? So let's run some numbers myself. Okay, so the first thing I will admit is that COVID is officially up against the flu. Okay, here are the numbers for the flu. In the United States, 12,000 to 61,000 annually die of the flu every year. Nobody asks any questions about spreading it to senior citizens or people with weakened immune systems. Those are still dead people. All right, let's do an average between the two and say 35,000 a year. Globally, the seasonal flu kills somewhere between 650,000 a year, according to the World Health Organization. Okay, United States numbers. The current deaths in the United States is 286,000. The numbers that are being dealt with are 50. I mean, listen to this. 32,820,000. 59,076,000. The numbers are in this. Obviously, we're not going to lose that many people. Just obviously. For every one person who dies is based on a number of 328,200,000. How many have actually died? 286,000 people. These numbers are based on 19 out of every one person who dies. It's based on numbers that don't exist. This is a what if post. Here's the thing. What's going to stick with people are the numbers they saw in this post, not the physical numbers on hand. These numbers aren't going to go much higher, folks, because they've got a vaccine. Now, whether or not you believe in the vaccine, that's a whole nother issue entirely. But they have a vaccine. They're going to administer it, and they wouldn't just use it, whether it was some sort of conspiracy or not, if it didn't work. Because even with the conspiracy, part of the point is, hey, and when they see the vaccine start working, they'll all want it. So the vaccine is going to work, all right? The numbers are going to start to go into the basement over the next 6 months. It's not going to happen overnight. That number that guy gave you, that really high number, that high, scary number, was just to make you more obedient. They want the Great Reset. They want a worldwide economy where nobody owns any property. You will own no property. That means that house of yours, and this should be a big question mark, that house that you own. So does this mean the government's just going to come in and take it now? You're going to have to rent it from them? How are they going to execute this? There's so many questions. And you're going to be happy about it? I can't imagine a lot of people are going to be happy about having poured hundreds of thousands of dollars into a house between renovations and paying a mortgage, only to have some government entity come in and say it's no longer your house. Execution of that is going to lead to war. End of story. But we have to start with complacency. We have to start with obedience. And this virus is the perfect opportunity to do that. You know, look, oh my gosh, this is what will happen if this many people dies. And the economy will be flushed down the crapper by a guy I've never heard of, by the way. No credentials, none, except professional writer. Well, that means he gets paid to write. He could be writing instructions for video games, okay? That's a professional writer. Doesn't necessarily mean he has a PhD. He basically did something my statistics professor friend, Derek, could do himself. Take the number and all of the data and crunch it down and then scare people with it. Let's just say half of the United States is killed by COVID. Here's how that'll play out. When you're dealing with people that don't deal with numbers, and you're dealing with people that are in a panicked society, that are scared of everything, and becoming increasingly germophobic, by the way, don't let their immune systems do what it was designed to do, which is adapt and become stronger. They are going to follow whatever it takes to avoid death, which also comes from a fear of death, because for a lot of people in this country, this is it. You're not taking a dirt nap. When you die, that's it. End of story. You don't exist anymore. Imagine living with that kind of a thought process. How do you get up in the morning? How do you face the day? That's why I'm not afraid. I'm not giving anybody COVID. I don't have it. I did. And in February, dry cough and a fever for a day. That was it. And by the way, except one person, everybody I know, that's what they got. Something along those lines. No permanent lung damage, no cognitive problems. None of that happened. None of it. Not one person that I personally know that had this got any of those. This is all speculation. all of these facts are speculation. This, well, this is what could happen based on data that you might have just made up because you're trying to feed a narrative. This is why I say don't trust the media. Okay, when there is a narrative and they're focused on one particular thing that they got to get done, man, you can't take anything they say to the bank. If they're pro one candidate and anti another, it doesn't matter who it is or which news network it is, or what side they lean, you should be on alert because they shouldn't have skin in the game. These people are supposed to report the news and move on with their lives, not op-ed on it. But that's what they do. And we end up with these lists by these bloggers who probably write instructions for Candyland. It's stupidity. We gotta stop listening to these people. Oh my gosh, I could go on hours for this. But I won't.
New York, London,
Philadelphia,
Japan,
Chicago,
Paris,
San Francisco,
Tijuana,
Los Angeles, California.
The Vince Wild Show.